The reading today comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30, and you can find it on page 1622 of your Pew Bibles. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last."
Good morning, everyone. Happy almost New Year as well. That time is coming up, at that time of year where it's hard to kind of remember what day it is during the week. So well done. We're here. It's good. Well, I reckon this has happened to all of us before, this scenario. You know, when you go to a cafe and there's a door, and you start pulling on said door, and then you're wondering why it's not working. And you get kind of frustrated, so you pull a little bit harder on said door, and you're wondering why the cafe has such a hard door to open, and what's wrong with them, why don't they fix it? But then you see a massive sign right in front of you, and it says, "Use side door." And you have that moment of going, "Oh no." And you kind of feels like everyone's looking at you at that moment. And then, so what do? You could get in your car, you could drive away to avoid the embarrassment, that's an option. You could act like you're meant to do it. You say, "Yeah, no, I'm just checking the door's that's definitely closed." But really, what you do is you stop trying the door that doesn't work and you go to find the side door, the door that does work. And why do you do it? Because nothing is going to stop you from getting your caffeine fix for the day. Nothing. You need to get in there. Well, in Luke chapter 13, this passage we've just had read out, verse 22 to 30, we read of a great feast that takes part in the kingdom of God, this great celebration. Now just imagine a time when God's people are finally with him. They're with him, the time when sin, suffering, death, and evil have all finally been done away with, and God's people are with him, celebrating. Just imagine how amazing that is going to be. So gathered in God's house are people from all over the world, people smiling and laughing and rejoicing, eating and drinking and celebrating. And right at the center of the room where all the attention is, sits God. And he's welcoming you to come and sit with him. See, this is a picture of the relationship God wants to have with us. He wants you in his dining room, in his house, as part of his family. Now just imagine you realize you've been trying to enter in through the wrong door to this feast. Now you could get in the car and drive away to try to avoid embarrassment. You could act like you're meant to do it and say, "Yeah, I'm just checking that this door is firmly closed." But really what you do is you stop trying the door that doesn't work and you go find the side door. And why? Because nothing is going to stop you from being in that party, at that table with the God who loves you. So can you get a sense of what we should feel as we read what Jesus has to say this morning? You don't want to miss out on this. Quit messing around. You just get inside. God is waiting. The door is open. But it won't always be. See, Western culture holds onto this idea that things are just going to turn out for the best. It'll all pan out in the end. There are many ways to God. Just pick the door you like. But Jesus says reality couldn't be more different. There is one way to God, one way to salvation, one way to escape being locked outside this feast in God's kingdom. Now, prior to this passage, Jesus has laid down a really hard truth that people need to respond to. He's done that in Luke 13, verse 1 to 9. Jesus says, unless you repent, you too will all perish. He says it twice in those verses. See, you can't look at the world, at the horrible events happening around us, and think that the world isn't broken. It is broken. And the start of Luke chapter 13, we looked at this a while ago, but it helped us understand that the brokenness we see in the world, it's like a message on a really big billboard. Or it's like a warning sign kind of going off, saying the ship is going down. But there Jesus stands, right alongside it, shouting, here's the lifeboat, get in, quit stalling. The very next section of Luke 13, in verse 10 to 17, Jesus actually shows that he is the lifeboat. And he shows us by freeing a woman who's been bound by Satan for 18 years. See, we don't have the power to defeat evil and suffering and sin, which lies at the center of all this brokenness, but Jesus does. Jesus heals her instantly, just like that. Satan's work is undone in a moment. The suffering and evil experienced as a result of sin in the world is just wiped away. The ship is going down, but Jesus is the lifeboat. That's the point Luke has been making about Jesus. And now in verse 22 to verse 30, the message is this. The ship is going down, Jesus is the lifeboat, so quit stalling and get inside. That's the urgency of this passage. In verse 22 to 23, we read, Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Now, this is a stalling question. It's a stalling question. I just want you to imagine someone on a sinking ship that's going down, and it's going down in shark-infested waters. Now, just imagine upon receiving the captain's invitation to step into the only lifeboat, while there are several sharks just circling around them with jaws snapping at their heels, imagine instead of getting in, someone stops and they ask, do you reckon only a few people will be saved because of this lifeboat? You'd be standing there watching jaws snapping at their heels and you'd be going, just get in the lifeboat. That's the urgency of this passage. But why would someone do that? Why would they stall like that? Because they don't realize how in need of rescue they are. See, if there's a message that Jesus has been trying to get across, it's that we're all desperately in need of rescuing. And that salvation is here. The ship is going down. Jesus is the lifeboat. But quit stalling and get inside. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. That's point one, the narrow door. Jesus says from verse 24, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then they will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. And once upon a time, I went to my little cousin's birthday party, and I was in a room with my brother and our other cousin, and we were all playing guitar together. But then something kind of strange happened. In walked the lead singer of the band The Screaming Jets, a man called David Gleason. Did anyone know The Screaming Jets? There's a few hands. Just to give you a picture of them on the screen. This is The Screaming Jets. Like, they were pretty big. Now, David Gleason, he walks in, he picked up a guitar, and he played it for a while. He said, g'day to us, and then just walked back out of the room. This really happened. And we rubbed our eyes, and we went, what? What just happened? Now, this next bit didn't happen, but just bear with me. Imagine that it did. Imagine a week later, David Gleason got married, and he was celebrating his wedding reception. Imagine I went up to the front door of the venue. I started knocking on the door. He hears about it, so he comes up to the door. He speaks to me through the screen, and I say, Dave, it's me. It's Jack. Let me in for the wedding reception. I'm ready to join in. what do you think he's going to say? He'll say, who on earth are you? I say, I sat in a room with you while you played guitar last week. I ate the same food you were eating. I drank the same drinks as you. Come on, let me in. He's going to say, I have no idea who you are or where you've come from, but get away from me. See, here's the point. Just because I was exposed to David Gleason doesn't mean I get to go to his wedding reception. And that's the point Jesus is making. Just because you've been exposed to Jesus in some way. You know, maybe you've gone to church, you take communion, someone's baptized you, maybe as a baby. You went to a Christian school, even. But none of that means you get to go into his Father's house to join the celebration. Just because you've been exposed to Jesus in some way doesn't mean you get to go into that feast. You only get in through the narrow door. Jesus says this is what it will be like for the person who doesn't enter through the narrow door while it's open. In verse 25 to 27, he says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then they will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. But you just think of it. Imagine the time when all people stand before God. Some enter his house, they take part in the feasting and the celebrating, but others are denied entry. And everyone's standing on the outside and is looking in and thinking the same thing, but I want to be in there too. And they're not just a bit sad. Verse 28, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Out in the darkness, it's agony at the thought that you could have entered in, but you chose not to. And now it's too late. You've missed out. You had the chance to listen, the chance to get in, but you chose not to. It's a really terrifying, scary picture. And yet the good news for all of us is that Jesus came to open the door for us to get in. He came to invite us in, to say, quit stalling. Get in here. Do you notice the start of verse 22? Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. It's a small thing to notice, but it changes how we understand why Jesus so desperately wants people to stop stalling and just get inside. See, the whole reason Jesus came was to make this journey to Jerusalem because he so desperately loves us. See, what keeps people from entering into right relationship with God, into God's great feast, into his kingdom? It's our response to God of saying, I don't want you. I want to make my own rules. I want to live my own way. And we've all done this. There's no take backs. There's no sweeping things under the rug and pretending we haven't done the wrong thing. We have. And there are consequences for it. God's just and fair judgment. Being locked outside forever of his kingdom. Because that's what we decide we want. That's what sin is, to say to God, I don't want you. I want to make my own rules. I want to live my own way. But it means darkness. It means death. It means missing out on the best thing there is. Missing out on God. And we may think, well, I might not be perfect, but I've tried to be a good person. I want the world to be a better place. I try to do my part. And it's a great sentiment. But it doesn't change the way that we've responded to God. We can't sweep what we have done under the rug. It doesn't change the way God views us. It doesn't change the truth. But as Romans 3 verse 23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's a really sobering, hard-hitting truth. But it's what makes Romans chapter 3 verse 24 so wonderful. Because that verse goes on to say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. See, how is this all dealt with? How is our sin dealt with? By Jesus coming to swap places with us. Jesus came to swap places with us. See, when Jesus died on the cross just outside of Jerusalem, he did it to take our place. He did it to face the penalty that belonged to us. He died so that we could live. that we could enter into God's great feast, his kingdom, sinless, blameless, perfect in Christ. So that we actually belong there. See, instead of standing before God and God saying, "You belong outside. What are you doing? Who are you?" God says, "Finally, my child is home. Come inside where it's warm." And he can say that because Jesus swapped places with us. He paid to save us from the consequence of sin with his life. There is one way into right relationship with God, by stepping through the door Jesus opened for us when he swapped places with us. And how do we step in? Through trusting that Jesus can get us to where we can't get ourselves. Jesus can get us to where we can't get ourselves. The second point, faith versus exposure. We've talked about exposure already. I just want you to imagine that Christmas has just gone by. Imagine at Christmas you received a really wonderful gift. You receive a ticket to get on a plane to go to the Whitsundays on an all-expenses-paid holiday. Now you arrive at the airport, you walk through check-in, through security, and you're waiting at the gate in the departure lounge with the plane sitting there on the runway. Now, is it enough to just stand there watching the plane get loaded with passengers before it takes off? Of course not. That's just exposure. You need to get on the plane. The plane is the only way you get to your destination. At what point do you show that you trust that plane to get you where you need to go? It's not by standing at the gate looking. It's by getting inside the plane. Jesus not only says but shows us that he is the only one who can get us where we need to go. Your sins can't be forgiven any other way. Your relationship with God can't be restored any other way. Only Jesus can get you where you need to go. You need to get in the plane. Or you need to get in the lifeboat. You need to listen to Jesus and trust in him. Now, what does this all look like? Remember what Jesus says at the start of Luke 13. He says, repent. To repent means to make a 180-degree turn away from rejecting God and following your own way outside in the darkness to accepting God in his way. And God's way is Jesus. Responding the right way to Jesus looks like saying, "I'm sorry for my sin. I turn away from living this way of rejecting you. I trust you as both Lord of my life and the only one who can save me from my sin. Please forgive me. Help me live your way." It means no longer striving to live on a sinking ship, as though it has anything to offer you, but turning your back on it and accepting that Jesus can and will save you if you put your trust in him. Just hearing about Jesus isn't enough. Being exposed to Jesus isn't enough. You need to trust what he says. You need to trust him to get you where you need to go. The ship is going down. Jesus is the lifeboat. Quit stalling and get inside. Now, point three is strive, don't stroll. In verse 29 and 30, we read, "People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first and first who will be last." Now, that man asked this question at the start. He said, "Are only a few going to be saved?" And Jesus' response is basically to say, "Just get in the boat." But in verse 29, Jesus actually answers that man's question. "Are only a few going to be saved?" And it's a resounding no. See, God's kingdom will be full of people of every skin color, of every language, male and female, young and old, from east, west, north, and south. A diverse people who have placed their trust in Jesus to get them where they can't get themselves. Jesus says in verse 24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." Now, why is it a narrow door? Why a narrow door? I think a couple of things come to mind. See, firstly, it's the door you find by paying attention to the sign saying, "Use the side door." Contrary to Western notions, there is only one way to relationship with God, through Jesus. It's the only way. You don't just stumble into the kingdom of God. You need to respond to Jesus and what he says to do. You must enter the way Jesus says to enter. Faith in him. But secondly, the narrow door is a door that gives you pause before you enter in. And it gives you pause because you can't take anything else in with you. Georgina and I got married a bit over 1.5 years ago. And when we got married, we realized that we had two of just about everything you need in a home. We had two toasters, two kettles, two washing machines, there were two couches, two tea tables, two dining tables, two cupboards, two TVs. There's two of everything. And as you can imagine, when we decided to get married, there were some decisions that needed to be made about what to leave behind. Now imagine if I got married to George and when moving day came, I realized that I couldn't fit my couch through the door of our unit. My favorite couch. Now I need to make a decision, don't I? Do I leave my couch outside and move in with Georgina, or do I leave Georgina inside and stay with the couch? Like, it's an obvious choice, isn't it? Who cares about the couch? It's a silly example, but it's what the narrow door does. What can you bring with you into God's house? Nothing. And it's because you don't need anything. See, when we look at things like career or money and relationships, family, status or comfort next to God, the narrow door makes us pause. Do I want to stay outside with those things, or do I want God? Now, if we think those things are better than God and what God offers to us, we will strive after those things. We will strive after career. We will strive after money and status and comfort, all those things. Our lives will become about getting more of those things. But remember that image Jesus leaves us with at the start of this passage, of those locked outside of the feast. The people, even though they were exposed to God, to his words, heard him speak and invite them in through Jesus, they were happy to stroll along and strive after other things. And now they're gnashing their teeth, weeping bitterly because of the foolishness of that, of letting go of God for anything else. You know this scene on the screen behind me? This scene, you can't see it very well. It's Indiana Jones with, you know, the boulders rolling down the first movie. Indiana Jones is running away from it, trying to get out the door. He's running for his life, isn't he? Now, just imagine if Indiana Jones saw something along the way while he's running, say some money. Just imagine he saw it and he slowed down. And he kind of walked off the path to try to grab it along his way. And you'd be shouting, like, what are you doing? Don't do it. It's not worth it. See, this passage shouts the same thing out at us. Jesus is shouting the same thing out at us. Strive to enter through that narrow door. You know what God offers inside. It's better than any career, any amount of money or comfort or status or relationship. Because we get God. Now, it's time for those New Year's resolutions to come rolling around. So what will it be? What does this passage, or how does this passage shape how we think about next year and what our New Year's resolutions will be in 3 days' time? I think it says one thing. Don't wait until next year. Not 3 days, not even one more minute. Do you know that your career is holding you back from God? Do you know that being in a relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend is holding you back from God? Do you know that comfort is holding you back from God? Don't just keep kicking the can down the road. Quit stalling and get inside. Or perhaps there's something else holding you back though. Maybe what keeps you from this is that you think you aren't presentable enough to even walk through that door. You know the way, you know you want in, but you feel guilty. You feel stained. You feel like you'll be kicked right back outside where you think you belong because you'll stand out like a sore thumb. There's one more thing to highlight about the narrow door. God never asks us to enter based on what we can do. He invites us in through Christ alone. because Christ alone washes you clean from the inside out of the stain of sin. Christ alone deals with your sin and takes your guilt. Christ alone makes you a child of God. You enter through the narrow door in Christ alone. The temptation is to try to run in, kind of resume held forward in your hand, showing why we belong, showing what we've done to fix our state and make us belong there. But that's not what we need to do about the situation we're in. We can't actually do anything about that. It's not what we do when we realize that we are being held back from pursuing God and His kingdom because of our sin. See, the answer always is and will be Christ alone. The one who resolutely set out for Jerusalem to the cross to do what we cannot do. And we can't forget that for a second. See, the best way to end 2025 and to start 2026 is to be reminded of this great truth. Don't let anything get in your way of stopping you from seeing Jesus, from following Him, trusting in Him, and from resting in the grace of God through Christ alone. You don't need to fear being locked out if you have put your trust in Jesus to get you where you can't get yourself. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. See, how do we strive to enter through the narrow door? We do it in Christ alone, trusting in His achievements and His righteousness, casting aside anything that holds us back from Him. Now, in the quietness of your seat right now, I'd like to invite you to bring before God the things you know you are striving toward that are keeping you from striving after Him. Take a moment to recognize that and to ask God for help in loosening the hold your heart has on it. And remind yourself of the great hope that is yours in Christ alone, of being with God in His home, at His feast, in His kingdom. We're going to take a moment to do that, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer, just in the quietness of your seats. Take some time to reflect, and then we'll pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You as the God who sustains all things, God who created all things, the God who did not stay distant to us when we rebelled against You, but You entered down into this broken world, onto this sinking ship, and You came that we might have life. You came to forgive our sins, to make it possible for us to be with You forever. You do that through Jesus, through Christ alone. Lord, as this year ends and a new one begins, we pray that You would help us to strive after You. You'd help us to see the world for what it is and to see Christ for who He is. To see in Christ a Saviour. To see in Christ Your great love for us, a love greater than anything we could imagine. See in Him what's just better than anything in the whole entire world and what this world could offer us. Pray that You would help us to strive after Him, letting go of the things in this world that our heart holds on to. Lord, we know that we can't do this ourselves. We need You to work in us to do this. We pray that You would do that work through Your Holy Spirit. Father, as the new year starts, we pray that we would joyfully live as Your servants in this world, telling others of this good news. That we would joyfully live for You ourselves, knowing this great hope of what lies ahead of us, Lord. Life with you. A great feast with you in your kingdom. Amen.